Last time I was up here was November 22nd, and on that day I talked about Genesis chapter 3 a little bit, Adam and Eve, their fall, their sin, God's mercy in the midst of that, and then what confession looks like. That confession would need to be 100% that we're not holding anything back from God, that we are exposing ourselves and just laying it all bare, that then we may be healed according to the scriptures. The other side of the coin from confession is forgiveness. They are both in tandem with one another. We forgive that we ourselves would be healed, and then we also heal other people in the process of this. So our scripture this morning starts in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. First two verses. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who has sinned against me? Up to seven times." Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." I like the disciples. I really do. They're an interesting group of people, and they remind me a lot of myself. And so I kind of picture this a little bit in my head about what is going on. Peter approaches Jesus, and he's like, "You know what? Seven times, Jesus. Is that how many times I should forgive? I am going above and beyond here." The quota of the day was to forgive three times, which the Jewish leaders would have understood came from the book of Amos in the first chapter, where God forgives his enemies, the enemies of Israel, three specific times, but then no more. And then they translated this and taught it as, well, if God forgives three times, then I am to forgive only three times. And so he goes not double, but he goes double plus one. And so he must have really thought, man, I'm going to blow Jesus out of the water with this one. Jesus looks at Peter and says, "You know what? No, not seven, 77. Some translations say seven times 77. The answer doesn't really matter as far as numbers goes. The point that Jesus is trying to make to Peter is, he says, you need to stop counting. Stop counting how many times you need to ask for forgiveness or confess your sins. Luke chapter 17, middle of the chapter somewhere, where Jesus says, if your brother comes to you and sins seven times against you, and then comes back and asks you for forgiveness seven times, you are to forgive them all seven times. And so Jesus, in saying, stop counting, Peter, because I know what counting does. You see, 2 years ago, Tyler, boss, offended me. Then 6 months ago, he offended me again. This morning, he offended me again. And my goodness, it's just crazy. I don't know. I love you, brother. I really do. Insensitive. Oh. But what does that do when I start counting? It causes bitterness to well up in my heart, right? It causes me to hold a grudge. It says, well, because you offended me this many times, you now owe me this many favors, or I expect you to go above and beyond for me in this case. Jesus hits this again when he says in John 13:35, they will know that you are my disciples. Why? Because you love one another. Forgiveness is a part of love. When I love, Jesus does something in my heart that causes me to want to forgive those around me. So Jesus tells the story here, and starting in verse 22. Jesus answered, "I tell you, not..." Oh, nope, 23, my bad. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had would be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay you everything." The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt, letting him go. Jesus often uses these sorts of stories to really convey his point. Matthew, in the book, is specifically written to the Jews, and so Jesus oftentimes says, the kingdom of heaven is like this, or the kingdom of heaven is this. Jesus is referring back to the book of Daniel, and what he wants to do is he wants the Jewish people to understand that there are not two separate kingdoms, that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are the same. And so in doing so, he is proclaiming himself as Christ. The debt that is said here, I've done a little bit of research on it. Pretty much everything I can find says that this debt is not payable. Like, this person owed so much money back then that there was absolutely no way under the sun that he was ever going to pay it off. And so the master originally comes up with a plan that when we look at slavery, we would think, well, slavery is bad, it's racially motivated, things like that. But back then, people would have been sold to pay off their debts. And this was just a part of the economic system at the time. It was not anything that was meant to strongly offend. The interesting thing that the servant says to Jesus is, give me time and I will pay back all that I owe. The servant didn't actually ask Jesus to cancel his debt. The only thing that he actually asked for was more time. Please, sir, more time. I will get you everything that you owe. But the master, looking at this man, says, there is absolutely no way under the sun I could give you 1,000 lifetimes, sir, and you are not going to pay me back. So he has the utmost mercy, and he says, I see that you are repentant. I see that your confession is genuine, at least for the moment. So I break your chains and I set you free. You do not have to pay me back. Go, the debt has been canceled. Jesus is using this story to speak about forgiveness. What else is he talking about? Salvation. He is talking about the debt that we all have that we cannot repay, the sin that is in our life that Jesus, through his blood, says is now canceled, that we become sons and daughters of the living God through Jesus Christ. And most of the time, our response to this is usually something very joyful, thankful. We express gratitude. We celebrate the fact that we understand we have been forgiven a monstrous debt that we could never repay. This man was forgiven an incredible sin. The only way that he could have actually gotten this much in debt is to just be completely reckless with his money. I mean, there is just no other way that a person could ever go that far in debt. So Jesus displays mercy and kindness and love to this man by forgiving him. Next one's 28. When the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what was happening, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Jesus is describing the exact same scenario that just took place with this other man who owned a monstrous debt. And Jesus forgave the man. Now this man has the opportunity to show his love, his gratitude, his graciousness to another man who owed him just a little sum of money. It's estimated that it was right around in today's economy about $20,000, which is still a good sum of money, but you could pay that back over a period of time. And so the man begs. He says, "Please, sir, just a little bit more time." And instead of him having compassion and mercy for the man as Jesus had for the other, he says, "No, I want my money now." Greed consumed him, and the sin in his heart was shown for what it was. He had the man thrown in jail until he could pay back what he owed. The servants around him saw what was happening, and they said, This disturbs me. We know what happened. We know that the master forgave you. And so they go to the master to say, What is happening here? How can we set this right? Verse 32, then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother and your sister from your heart." The master calls the servant back and says, "You are wicked. There is wickedness, there is sin in your heart." And this isn't a new thing, by the way. It's not like the man was holy and righteous before and now all of a sudden he's wicked. He's been wicked the entire time. And now Jesus is just calling out the fact that you were forgiven, and what did you do with your forgiveness? The man carelessly disregarded the forgiveness given by Jesus, and the gift of salvation, the gift of broken chains, was thrown aside for his own personal wealth, greed. The next couple of verses are actually really hard to swallow. In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owes. That doesn't seem like Jesus in that one moment to me. But it is, because his justice, he has to have this in order to be merciful. There has to be payment. And if this man is unwilling, as Jesus said, to be his disciple, to love one another, to forgive as he has been forgiven, then he will be turned over to the jailer. He will be turned over to the tormentors until what he has paid is owed. Verse 35 is even almost a little bit more grim. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This last verse isn't necessarily speaking about the physical realm as much as it is the spiritual realm. Jesus is saying, if you have a heart that is not willing to forgive, if you have a heart that is unloving in the point of view that you have been forgiven from all of your sins, and if that love does not be displayed upon other people, then Jesus says that you will be turned over to the jailer and you will be turned over to the tormentors. What does that mean? That means that I have given the devil a foothold. That means I have given Satan ground in my life to cause me bitterness, to cause me to hold grudges, to cause this to manifest itself. And the only way that we take back that ground is with prayer. Jesus, I have sinned against you again. Forgive me. Forgive me, Holy Spirit. Come into me, indwell me. Cause me to have a heart that is ready to forgive, that is ready to change, that is ready to love. This isn't in us. This is given to us by God. And God is saying, I will give you this. If you do not use it, then yes, unfortunately, Satan does gain a foothold. It's a warning. But God tells us that we are not alone in this. God displays this because he says, my mercy, my forgiveness is meant to transform your heart. That is what it is meant to do. It is meant to cause us to love others more than we love ourselves. Part of who I am, part of what makes me up as a person, I like to know the answer to a question. Why? If you tell me why something is, I don't even necessarily have to agree with you, but I will come to a better understanding and I will come to a better place of compromise if I just understand why or even how something like this could be accomplished, because the way that this is left just simply says, well, pray about it. There's nothing that you can do. And there's a part of that that is correct. But what I want to do this morning is I want to take this and I want to say there is something that we as God's children can do to forgive, to confess, to receive all that God wants us to be. And I read this. This is not my analogy. I'm actually thirsty, so this looks good. We as Christians have heard this before. Forgive, right? This isn't necessarily a new concept. The problem is when Tyler came to me and said, I'm sorry, I immediately said, you're right, no problem, I forgive you, it's all good. How many times have you said that to somebody, but then a month later, it pops back up again? Or you later start to think about it and you get just riled up again, and you say, man, I said I forgave him, so what is going on inside of me? And the example says, many times we do not understand that what we have done to another person is a gallon's worth of offense. And so when we confess and when we ask for forgiveness and say that we are forgiven, I forgive you. But wait, what's left? There's still a lot of the gallon left. I've only taken a cup out. I hope I did that analogy okay. The point is, I can't fully understand the depth of the offense or the depth of your hurt unless we come together, communicate effectively with one another. I need to listen to not just the words that are being said, but also the emotion behind it. I need to ask the Holy Spirit in the moment that we are confessing our sins, that we are forgiving each other, God, help me to see beyond myself. Help me to see deeper into this. God, is simply an I'm sorry going to cover this? Or God, is there something more that needs to be done? in this state of repentance. So not just that I can be clean, but also the person who I have offended can also be clean. Does that make sense? Okay. In light of this, we have offended a holy God. Not a gallon, not 5 gallons, not 10 gallons. An immense container that we can never fill, not in 1,000 lifetimes, just like this man's debt. The only thing that could fill it was every drop of Jesus' blood. Jesus atoned through the death of his own son, that what? That we might become children of God. That I confess, that I believe on Jesus Christ, that yes, his death, his resurrection, his blood that was spilled for me and for all mankind is sufficient, that I have the forgiveness of my sins. And when I truly believe that, when I ask God, God, show me another level of this, show me deeper how to forgive, show me deeper how to love, he will do that. ...2020 is coming to a close. This has been a really, really rough year. It's been a rough year for a lot of people. I have watched anger. I have watched hatred. I have watched bitterness seep into our country. And it is currently killing us. I do not see forgiveness. I see, I want my way, or I want you to see my point of view, but I'm not willing to listen to your point of view. There is a lot that we can do as followers of Jesus Christ to set an above-the-bar example for forgiving one another. Since there is not a lot of forgiveness right now going on in our country, there's a lot of pointing of fingers and things of that nature. How much we would stand out, that people would look at you and go, why? What gives you the right? How can you forgive for that? Did you not see what they did? Can you not see what's going on here? How can you forgive? The answer is, I forgive because Jesus forgave me. And pray, yes. So that when we look at the story of this servant, that when we were forgiven, that we would not go out and act like the rest of the world, that we would go out and say, because my debt was canceled, I love you enough to forgive. And to start that, and to, Matt, as you say often, let my light shine, right? Let my light shine in a world that is dark, that we would display Jesus Christ. So as 2021 begins, I would encourage all of us to pray, God, fill my heart with love this year. Fill my heart with love, not just for my family that is around me, but for also the people in this city, that I would pray for them earnestly and constantly, that your love would be manifest, that they would see a difference in God's people and hunger and crave for those things. Ultimately, we can point them to Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, you are so good. You are so good to us. It is beyond my human comprehension to fully understand the fullness of what you have given up for us. The cross. Jesus, in all of our hearts, the hearts of your children, may you break our hearts that we would love Jesus with a passionate love, with a love that causes even our brothers and sisters to say, I want that. What is that? What is different about you? How can you do that? And the answer is because of you, Jesus. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. Praise you, honor you, and glorify your name. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, amen.